Talk to me about Cascadia literature. I mean, who are the authors that you come back to that you think really embody a spirit of this place?
Well, it's a little parochial, I'm afraid, because it's mostly my friends. I like reading poets that speak to the natural world and the place they live, and because they all tend to inhabit the northwestern coast of North America, then I guess they have this place in common because that's what they talk about. I just read a wonderful poem by Elizabeth Heron, who lives down in Sonoma County, and I would definitely include her as part of my bioregion. And it's about oak gall. It's about a particular oak tree that she likes to visit, and how that oak gall, that oak is healing a wound by creating these oak galls, these growths that protect it, in the same way that she's making poetry, that her words are the oak gall that she uses to deal with the pain, which I think is a lot of the business of poetry now, is to help us deal with the loss of all these beautiful things that are going. And then we take strength from what remains. Is that Cascadian? I can think of people in Colorado or New Mexico or all over the place who feel that. But I think there's probably an intensity of it, and maybe a biological component, because these people are reflecting this place that they live, that the poetry is infected with some kind of algae or something that grows on it. All those poems have a moss about them somehow. Although I really don't know. And once we start talking about it, it begins to sound too academic.
It begins to die, like a lot of these little projects that imploded, that were well-meaning. Do you think that there's a parallel there?
Yeah, I think, yes. Of course. I mean, William Carlos Williams, you know, said over and over and over again, and Pound, too. I mean, they were great teachers, and which I was lucky enough just to stumble upon early, and it kind of got me through academic life. I could still come out at least barely able to talk at the end of it, so people understood what I was saying. Keep it simple, I mean, and direct, and use the words that we use in everyday conversation. I was just reading, there's a poet whose last name is Linda Russo.
Yeah.
She wrote a wonderful essay of hers, Jacket 2. And I love the energy, and I love the compassion for the natural world that comes through, but I'm not sure that, I mean, making up new words for it is fine, and I love the energy of doing that, and like all goofy undertakings, okay, let's make up a word for things that we're experiencing that we don't have names for. But I'm not sure that that's going to see us through. I think that good old Anglo-Saxon nouns and verbs are what's going to work for us in the long term. And when things get too far from the ground, whether it's words or money, they get unreal and lose the sense of what they started out to be. So I don't know. I was thinking how you would actually do a Cascadia. I mean, this is a monstrous undertaking, this collection. I mean, to think that you can lasso all the Cascadian poets into one book. I really admire the effort. But I'm also really glad to see that there are lots of Cascadian poets that you missed. You know, they're in the woodwork. You know, they haven't been discovered by the outside world yet, not even by those of us who are in it.
Well, this is sort of a first stab at it, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And hopefully the conversation continues from here.
Yeah, I hope so, too. These efforts always remind me of the little magazine I started shortly after I moved here. And went through issue after issue, not for very long. The magazine got much smaller, and its scope became much narrower geographically. At first I thought, oh, we can distribute this all the way down the coast, you know, maybe clear to San Francisco, up into Oregon. Well, first, we couldn't afford the gas. For one thing, I mean, there were a lot of clues, but that was one of them. And this is part of how you find out who you're talking to and who speaks your language. And I mean, you're pioneering by coming down here and talking to people like me and saying, what are people thinking out there? Is that Cascadian or just craziness, you know?
Yeah, I think there's something to it, and that's why I'm tracking it.
Yeah, no, that is good.
But I also think that just in the framing of a bioregion, you're already winning because, you know, you're saying that before I'm a resident of Canada or the United States of America, I'm a resident of this place, and this place is defined by geological features more so than lines drawn on a map by white guys who in some cases weren't even looking at the map.
Yeah, John, they didn't have a map. I mean, that's what part of this book tells, the story of the first guys who gave up gold mining and came down here because they heard there was a port that you could bring things in from San Francisco to sell to the miners who were going broke in the mountains. They didn't have a map. They didn't have a clue. They thought that the Trinity River came out in Trinidad, you know, hence its name. They had no idea that the Klamath River existed, or the people who lived on it, or the people who, or that they would find a bay that actually had a thriving culture already there. None of that was made it onto their maps. We are drawing new maps, and your book is a map. So I love maps. Lunatic ideas that they are. I think of Cabeza de Vaca as the great model here. Adventures in the Unknown Interior of America. we're still having them.
I'm really grateful for your time and for stopping to meet us today.
Thank you. I'm really grateful for you going around asking people these kinds of questions. I hope it's worth your time and mileage.
We are getting a lot of miles on the car.
You are. That's what we found out.